Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's not uncommon for women in pain to be met with doubt about their condition, sometimes from the very medical community that's meant to help them. Science writer Abby Norman describes this phenomenon and her own experiences with chronic illness, and it's because she suffers from endometriosis. It's a chronic disorder that occurs when uterine-like cells grow outside of the uterus. But for years, Norman struggled to find treatment, or even the words sometimes, to describe the pain she was feeling to her doctors. She writes about this in her very well-researched new book. It's called Ask Me About My Uterus, A Quest to Make Doctors Believe a Woman's Pain. Abby Norman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I think the subtitle of your book, Abby, is going to strike a chord with at least half our listeners. I mean, is it that doctors don't believe in women's pain?
It's an incredibly complex issue, and it's one that is not just about whether or not it's believed in the medical setting, but sort of whether or not it's believed at even a much broader sociocultural setting. And I mean that in the sense that other people in a woman's life might, you know, in some way challenge what she's saying. But also, I think more importantly, that before a woman ever goes into a doctor's office, there is a tendency to perhaps even doubt herself and her own experience.
Now, one of the things that led you to explore this was endometriosis, right? Can you tell us a little bit about why that played such a huge role in your life?
Yeah. So, and of course, it's always this way. But in retrospect, I realized that from the very first period I ever had, I had a terrible, terrible time with menstruation. And like many young women, I think I was set up to feel that having pain or other symptoms or just feeling really miserable was actually kind of normal. It really wasn't until I was a sophomore in college, so I was 19, and I had a more acute and quite serious and seemingly sudden situation that I kind of started to realize that maybe it wasn't normal, and that more importantly, it wasn't just that I didn't really know what a normal period would have been like, but that actually nobody really does.
Yeah. So let me just jump in here, because that terrible bout of pain that you had when you were 19, is that the one where you ended up in the emergency room and you were handed the pain scorecard and you weren't quite sure how to characterize your pain?
Yeah. So I was a sophomore in college. I was at Sarah Lawrence, and I was just completely struck down by this sort of abdominal pelvic pain. And actually, I waited several days, if not a week, to go to the emergency room. And part of that was because that whole idea of kind of trying to downplay it. And so when I finally did go, I was confronted with this pain scale, which is that whole like rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10 thing. And this is something that I talk about in the book fairly early on, because it's something that is even still quite confounding to me of how difficult and near impossible it has been for science to provide sort of a quantified pain measure. And part of that is because pain is inherently subjective.
I was going to say, the experience of it can be very subjective, or is subjective, yeah.
Yeah, even within the same person, even within your own lifetime, your experience of pain will change quite a bit.
So this brings us to a reading, if you could do, from the book here, because it's a passage where you write about the suffering that you experience that goes along with having endometriosis, and also as to why you begin to write this book in the first place. So I was wondering if you could do that reading for us.
Yeah, sure thing. It's true that those suffering from endometriosis haven't lost all their hair from chemotherapy or taken on that gray hue of a person with a terminal illness. They are not wheelchair-bound or using a cane. And they may well get up every day, wash their hair, put on makeup, get dressed, and go to work. But they do suffer, likely far more than even those closest to them know, especially in the moments when they are alone and can let their guard down. For me, it was usually in my car that I felt safe to fall apart, where I hid away to nap or fend off a bad wave of nausea. I'm sure everyone has their own place to escape to or to sequester themselves where they can suffer privately. Lonely places that swallow the sounds, smells, and sights of pain, sucking the proof right out of the marrow, washing it away so that not even a filmy residue remains. It would be noble of me to say that I started writing about my experiences because I wanted to reach out and help, but that impetus came later. At the beginning, I was writing purely as a means to understand my own grief. When I started yelling into the void of the internet, I was startled when it began to whisper back.
Well, that's Abby Norman reading from her new book, Ask Me About My Uterus, A Quest to Make Doctors Believe in Women's Pain. Began to whisper back. Tell me more about that.
So when the book came out, I knew that it was going to resonate on some level just because I had so many, you know, emails or messages from women all over the world. But in the last month or so, what has been so compelling to me is not so much the number, but the consistency of the stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I'm at the point where I'm getting messages that are exactly the same. And it's like, you know,
these what are those messages saying?
When they read the story, they go, I have had this exact conversation with a doctor. Actually, I've had this exact conversation with three or four or five doctors. And yet these conversations where they're told that it's all in their head or they're making it up or they're not dealing with their stress adequately or, you know, maybe they need to do yoga.
So can I just jump in here? Because I'm curious about whether or not those responses that women get from doctors, is it because, you know, again, the doctors just generally discount or don't believe in the women and the pain they're experiencing? Or is it because, you know, for a number of different reasons, we actually don't have enough or adequate, you know, medical science yet on women's bodies?
Oh, it is absolutely both of these things. And this is what I mean when I say this is an incredibly complex issue. There's so much about the reproductive system that we don't know just at a basic level in terms of like how things should go if things are okay. So on one level, it is an issue of just there not being adequate research. And then beyond that, you can see this reflected more broadly in our social cultural landscape. For most of the history of medicine, it's largely been not just, you know, sort of directed by men, but also medical education has and continues to be primarily sort of written and, you know, taught by men. So there you have this much broader issue that goes back and for which there is a precedent that is very long.
Well, Abby, as I've said, your book is incredibly researched and there are so many parts of it which are surprising to say the least. I wonder if you could just take us way, way back when we're talking about just sort of how the medical establishment viewed women and women's bodies. I mean, the wandering womb theory, what is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go back through medical history all the way back to like Hippocrates, I mean, even the ancient Greeks, there was this idea that the womb was actually something in terms of an organ that could move. And that this would cause any number of constitutional and, more importantly, psychological symptoms in women. And so this idea that the womb, whether or not it could actually move or whether or not it had like a mind of its own, the idea that the womb was sort of the central troublemaker for a woman, regardless of where her physical or mental issues were and what constituted them, there's a really incredibly long precedent that was set for this characterization that they could be driven to any number of physical ailments by their reproductive system.
Yeah. So I wonder, I mean, we're only really scratching the surface of again, how deeply researched your book is, because there's so much we could talk about here. But I'm running out of time here, and I just wonder, I'd love to hear from you what you think about sort of how we continue to take steps forward on this for women and how the medical establishment takes them and their pain seriously. I mean, is there some hope, for example, that I'm seeing here that in December of last year, the Association of American Medical Colleges said that for the first time, the number of women enrolling in U.S. medical schools exceeded the number of men. They were 50.7% of matriculants in 2017. So just a tiny bit over half. I mean, there are already a lot of great women doctors out there, but could this make a difference?
I really hope it does. And I think that one of the things that really needs to change is that so many of the issues that we're dealing with as it pertains to these types of issues really come down from the administrative level. They come from not necessarily even from the clinical level, because I've certainly had female doctors who have sort of treated me in the same way.
Exactly.
Because medicine itself is what is so patriarchally structured. And really, that even happens in terms of, you know, initial medical education and also continuing medical education. So there really needs to be a shift sort of at that higher level. But as that shift begins to happen, and as some of the people who have perpetuated these sort of, you know, really unhelpful and actually quite damaging sort of attitudes about this issue, you know, as they sort of, you know, move into retirement, we have a turnover, if you will. I hope that that helps. But I also hope that even in the meantime, that the physicians that are in practice at multiple levels just begin to really actively and thoughtfully engage. And I have to tell you that one of the best things that has happened to me since this book came out, I had this doctor tweet me, and he said, you know, I had a patient come in today, and she told me that she was reading your book, and I had the pleasure of telling her that I was too. And that meant so much, because that sort of, you know, example of willingness and opening that conversation, opening that dialogue, I mean, that's where the hope is, I think.
Well, Abby Norman is a science writer in Maine, and her new book is Ask Me About My Uterus, A Quest to Make Doctors Believe in Women's Pain. Abby, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I was wondering if any of this rings true for you. Have you had a tough time convincing your doctor about your pain? Or if you're a doctor on the other side of that equation, what has that been like for you? Send us a tweet at Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.